old school. Used to be a drunk dude. Businessman, nah, everybody love that dude. BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, I dare you, log on. Yep, he's old school. Yep, used to be a drunk dude. Businessman, now everybody love that dude. BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, I dare you, log on. BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, log on. Log on. BobbyBuck.com.
Hello, 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 peoples. It's been a while. It's about May this year since I've been doing my shows and everything. I had to take a little hiatus, do some other things. I'm getting started working on my own nonprofit now, which is going to be the middle name of my daughter, Horizon Inc. And I got a lot of things working within the community and working with a lot of people doing some networking because I'm getting ready for 2016 to feel like a dream. Because we're going to go back to dreaming and making sure we get all our goals accomplished. Not wondering about it. Can we do it? We will do it. You know, but today we're going to get on a topic, like say, you know, I'll talk about things in the community and we're going to talk about sex. And that's a very controversial three-letter word. And for that three-letter word, in the beginning, it created all of us. And we out here running ragged, and we mad at each other. We all need to get along, don't you think?
I know that's right.
So, but anyway, we're going to speak on sex because I be on Facebook, and I, you know, be in real life, and people always complaining about the other party, about, you know, one sex complaining about the other sex and all that stuff and everything. And I just think life is life. And like Michael Jackson said, look in the mirror.
Yep.
And would you go out with you? Would you want to marry you? Would you want to be with you for the rest of your life?
Wow.
So think of it on that aspect of things, you know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, I want to let my panel, who's going to be with me to help me break all this down, I want to let them introduce themselves and, you know, let people know who you are. So we're going to start right across from me.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? This is Lorraine Moreland, and I'm here. I'm an inspirational speaker, and you know what? I can talk about anything that's positive that will empower someone's life. So that's me.
Hello, my name is Herman Maurice Sample, and I'd like to thank Bobby and the others who are responsible for helping to provide this platform where we can come together and share some of our ideas, thoughts, opinions, and fact. I'm an entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and a receiver and giver of knowledge and wisdom.
Hello, everyone. I'm Demetra Wilson. I am the owner and operations director of Universal Testing and Consulting. Have two locations in Inglewood, California, and in downtown Los Angeles. I specialize in medical consultations, toxicology screenings, and I'm also a gospel singer. And basically, that's it. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to hearing all inspirational opinions and hope to give some good advice.
Hi, guys. My name is Ian Galloway. I'm a professional magician. I do magic shows for all types of events, like birthday parties and corporate events. And I want to thank Bobby for having me. And he actually came to the show, the American Cancer Society, that I performed for, to donate my time for charity. I did my 30-minute show and met Bobby. He's a really cool guy, and he invited me to be on his show. And we're here to talk about sex, and I guess we'll get to that in a moment, but the man right next to me, I'll hand it off to him.
Well, thank you. My name is Anthony Stallworth. I'm the senior pastor at Central City Community Church of the Nazarene.
Yay.
We're located on the corner of 6th and San Pedro. And Bobby and Demetra both, they have an office that's located there in our church, and it's an awesome place where things are coming together. Bobby and Demetra both of them asked me to come up, and they didn't tell me it was about sex.
Pastor.
I'll have to make sure that I keep it biblical. But thank you for asking me.
All right. Yeah, that's what we want. We want to get all types of perspectives on the sex and everything. So, you know, and I'll just go come up like with me, myself, I be on Facebook. I like to confront these women about always saying that cheating is always focused toward the man.
Oh, God.
Always focused toward the man. I mean, every time it's a me about cheating, Oh, me, I always cheat. I'm going like, so I got to hit him up. Hey, 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 who are we cheating with? Uh-huh. And then also, I'm a single man. I see and understand things differently because the reality of things happens because I'm a man. And like when women around women, see, to me, women are the natural born actors and con artists. To me. And they can act a certain way and then believe it, and then they can con somebody else into thinking it's true. Because I feel a woman don't believe that she thinks about sex. Because I think women are the essence of sex, so they don't believe that they think about sex. And I believe, and see, and a woman is always up on game to have sex as a leverage for herself.
No.
Yes, because, okay, it's going to get interesting.
Yeah, it's going to get real tough.
Yeah. I'm going to get one for the women. See, us men are weak.
No,
so,
not
weak. Yeah, no. But see, women are the art to the game of life and sex. Mm. And a man has to have game. Or he get played.
Oh, you want to be played.
So, yeah, this is
and so the women want to be played.
We want to be loved. We want to be loved.
Yes.
I want to be loved.
Okay.
Nothing but love.
I got to join on this one. I mean, because that's all it is. Listen. I mean, it's just, it's bottom line of free choice. If you know who you are as a man and you know who you're with as your woman or your mate, and you allow her to have that choice, then it shouldn't be no controversy. Mm. And then you're going to see the rights, the wrongs, and the direction that you choose to go if you continue to be in it or not. You know? Everybody can have a choice. Hit it or quit it, or I'm going to keep it. Either or.
Mm-hmm. Before we get going, I think I have a caller on the line.
Uh-oh.
Caller, are you there? Hello, caller?
Yeah. Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, who's speaking?
It's Dr. Jamison. Y'all getting on down from University of Texas. What y'all guys got going on tonight now? Listen, you're going to have to spell it out to me.
S-E-X.
Hello?
I spelled it out to you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I just want to send a shout out to you and Dee Dee. You guys are doing a fantastic job downtown Skid Row.
Thank you. Now
that Universal Testing and Consulting is down there, we're going to make a whole lot of things happen better for the community.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I want to call in and give a good shout-out to you guys and wish you guys the best success on the battle tonight. So I hope the men win. Come on, guys. We're going to have to crank it up a little bit.
Absolutely. All right. Sure appreciate that, Doc.
Thank you, Doc.
Okay, bro.
Thank you, Doc.
All right.
See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. I think you get ready to chime in. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Well, the subject is deep, and I like it. I like sex.
Yes.
I found out one thing about sex, though. It can come in all different shapes and sizes, doing to the person that, you know. But I learned when I was very young the kind of man I wanted. And that was the image of, like, I watched my father, how he loved my mother. I didn't learn much about sex with my mother and father because I never heard them have sex or anything. I looked at him how he treated her.
Right.
And I just sucked all these things in, not knowing that they would be a lesson for me. Because when I was 9 and my dad left, I knew my world would change. And then after that, my mom got a boyfriend, then I can hear the sex. You know, it was like devastating to me because from one point of view to another, it was totally different. So I always looked up at a man if he was like my father. Kind of respectful, loving, and kind, and treated my mother like a lady. Mm. I don't know why my mother chose not to stay with my father, but I know my father was a good man. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't know what kind of man to choose in my own life. So my first husband, well, you know, I wanted children. So my parents said, you know, you just can't have no babies here and there. You do have to get married. So I married my husband and had 3 children by him, which I had one out of wedlock. And sex was like an intensive thing to me. I think I enjoyed it better when I was high or on drugs or alcohol because I didn't have to feel anything. I just had to, like I said, have the emotions. But when it came to really loving somebody and giving my body for sex, that was a totally different emotional, like, it was totally different.
Right.
So we learn from so many different ways of bringing sex into our life, you know. So we wonder, I know I can speak for myself, the part having the children, because I call my husband home from work. My kids are 3 years apart. So I knew when to have sex for that. But when it came to other, to just having romantic sex and stuff, I definitely had to be loaded.
Okay.
But the thing about it, when I got married to my second husband, I was in recovery. So I wasn't loaded or anything. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time, 39 years old, that I really, really endured sex and the love of it. And to really realize what love and connection is with somebody. So everybody has their own embraceable experience with sex. And it's nothing to play with. You know, I could have went either way after my mother's second husband. Could have turned a lesbian if I really wanted to. But I saw the image of my father and the love that he was, the man that he was. And I chased that for that many, many years. And I never found it in a real situation until I got in recovery. So I'm thankful that I had that experience. Now, I love sex. I can have it 24/7, but it has to be my man. Because if I look at his butt, that's my butt. If he touched me, that's his stuff.
Right.
I think sex is really sacred and a beautiful thing between two people.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. I'm ready. Well put. Anybody want to jump in on that?
Yes, I can agree with a lot of those points. I look at sex as having three types of sex, actually. Actually, there's having sex, there's making love, and then there's the one that begins with the F that we can't use on the radio.
You can say you want to on here.
If you choose not to. But everybody gets the picture.
Right.
Having sex, making love, and F, like the truck. But anyway, they all carry about different mentalities and frame of mind while you're participating in each particular one of those three. And when you know the three different types, then you're able to know what you're doing, okay? Because of the different type of emotion that it carries with each act, if you don't get fooled into thinking that one is the other, because a lot of times people will think that they're making love, but they're not making love, because, you know, it's a different meaning behind each one, like this young lady mentioned, that it took her some time to be able to get with the right person to where it took it to another level. When you go to that other level, then it's all inclusive. It can include all three types of the love making in one. But when it's not all-inclusive, then you're just doing one or the other of the three, okay? So, you just have to know which one that you're doing so that you can be upfront with yourself and don't fool yourself.
Okay, yeah. I like
okay,
that.
Very good.
All right.
I'd like to hear men talk quick.
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
You know, this is a very, very interesting subject to listen to the different viewpoints and what it's all about. First of all, it's funny that you mentioned this, because today I was actually preaching about this.
Oh, okay.
I was preaching about my experience with my, you know, watching my mother and my father's relationship as I grew up. My father was a dog.
Okay.
He was a player of players. He wrote the book. His face was on the front cover. I mean, this man was something else. And as I was growing up, and when I was 15 years old, I began to learn what it was that he was talking about. And he led me in all the wrong directions.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that what we should do, he said, this is between men. We keep this hidden, because he was cheating on my mother.
Right.
And he was cheating on my mother. And I used to think that my dad was the coolest dude I had ever met. And I wanted to be just like him. So I started growing up being the same way he was. It was all about women, as many as I could have. as often as I could have them. And that's what my life was about. And then, you know, I just never kept anybody longer than a couple of years. You burnt my bacon, get out. It was that way. I just didn't have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I just didn't keep them. I got to change my socks. Might as well change you with it. You know, that's the way it was.
Yeah.
But it's funny because me being a pastor now, back in 1989, I found Christ. The woman that I met, we fell in love.
Right.
And when we got married with both of us feeling and believing that it was all in Christ and that it was forever. Mm. And when I married her, she was my best friend. And it was beyond the sex thing. Our relationship, and we've been married now. Remember I told you I didn't keep him for longer than a couple of years. We've been married. It'll be 20 years in February.
Ooh, congratulations.
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah.
And she is still my best friend.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even consider. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny, you know, I'm 61 years old right now. And, you know, I have to say that I still got it. Yeah, I still got it.
Yeah.
But the thing is that even though that's happening, you know, I still have that thing going on in my life where I'm still somewhat semi-attractive to some people. You know, my wife understands me. She knows me, and she knows that I would never, ever venture anywhere else.
Mm.
And she is so trustworthy. We have something that goes beyond. And it's funny because, you know, when you're growing up, I used to be ruled by that thing you guys got, you girls. Same used to be here. Ruled by it. Run around chasing it, man, had to find it. It was just the way my life was. And now, it's like, you know, that's my whole outlook and my whole viewpoint is completely and totally different. And that's such a wonderful thing to when you know that you're not ruled by that
right.
any longer. You know what
yes.
I mean?
So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about that weak part.
Yeah.
I thought I had it going on, but I was really weak.
Yeah. But, you know, before, when I was a young man, I stuck my chest out and was on and cracking.
Mm-hmm.
Now I learned how to bob and weave.
Yeah, for real.
To get out the way. So anyway, I just wanted to say, you know, with all the different types of sex that this gentleman was talking about over here and the type of men that you were talking about over here, you know, the true clutches, if you will, of love, when it really happens to you, it finally moves beyond all of that. It's no longer about the act.
No.
It's no longer. In fact, when you get married in the type of love that my wife and I have, it's not an issue like that. It just goes beyond it, you know, and whatever it is that she needs. And I make sure that happens, and she does the same for me. So.
Okay, all right, okay, I'm digging that. So I'm going to ask somebody, what's the magic about love?
Like I said, my name is Magic Ian, and thanks again, Bobby, for having me. I guess I'll speak kind of on a different viewpoint about, you know, we've kind of been speaking about making love and the act of just sex itself. So I kind of want to bring up, you know, the act itself and using what you should do, whether you should not use protection or use protection, or whether you should be on prep or you should take plan B after the act, after you do it. Plan B, it's like after you sleep with someone like at a party or something and you don't want to have the baby and you don't, and that woman does not use protection, they'll go to the drugstore and buy that pill so that they don't have a baby. If they don't use a condom because, you know, they were partying or something. But I think it's really important if you really love the person and you equally trust each other, that you know, having that baby, if you really feel like you're ready for that, is you know, a good thing. And it's important to share that with the person. But, you know, if you're not ready and you're not in love with that person, you don't feel like you'll be able to, you know, provide for that child, then you should definitely not have a child. You should not have a baby unless you really want to give it up, you know, for adoption, because it's really a touchy subject about abortion too, because there's a certain point where the baby really actually develops a soul. You know what I mean? It's said that like several weeks and they actually really start to form consciousness. And at that point, you know, it's a very controversial subject, but at that point they really form a soul and they're really conscious, and it's a really tough thing to do, to have to give up a child for abortion. I think obviously adoption, in my opinion, is a much more important and better thing to do than you know, having an abortion. But yeah, I mean, that's I think that using a condom is very important.
Yeah.
If you're not ready to have a child, and also so that you don't contract any type of sexually transmitted disease, because, you know, AIDS is a spreading, you know, disease throughout all types of communities. And you can do two things. You can go on something called PrEP, which is a type of drug that will actually prevent you from getting any type of sexually transmitted disease. It's like a monthly or weekly pill that you take. And that way you can still have sex without a condom, but you don't run the risk of having contracted any type of sexually transmitted disease. But, you know, condoms are 99% to not have a baby or anything like that. But, yeah, that's about it. I did bring a little magic trick. I don't know if you guys are ready to see it. It kind of intertwines with what I'm talking about a little bit. Would you guys care to see it?
Oh, you want to do it now?
Okay, yeah, awesome. Right. I brought this this with me.
Can I ask him a question after that?
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay, Bobby, can I have you say stop on any card that you want?
Stop.
Right here?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay, right there, Bobby. And so, I'm sorry, sir, what was your name again?
Tony,
as I go through, just say stop on any card.
Right there.
Right here? Okay, go ahead now. Memorize that card. And I don't know if they can see online. Can they see online?
Yes, I can see.
Okay, go ahead and show the camera so that they can see it. And what I'm going to attempt to do is find Bobby's card using ash. And then I'm going to find Tony's card using fire. Okay? So there's two ways we can do this. We're going to use the ash first. So let me see Bobby's card first. Bobby's card, and that's his card. And the second card is Tony's card. So what I'm actually going to do is try to find Bobby's card first, but first we're actually going to use this to create the ash. Obviously, you need fire. So watch. Bobby, what was your card?
It was a two. I think it was a diamond or something.
Can you see that? What does that ash say on my arm?
Two, a diamond.
Wow. That's good.
You better use a rubber.
So that would be like plan B if you didn't use a rubber. But, you know, let's say you did use a rubber. This would represent, you know, I don't have to say it. And this right here will represent the rubber. Okay, so what I'm going to do is wrap it inside of this, okay? Completely wrapped up all around, like so, okay? Now, Tony, I want you to think of your card.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to do is place this inside. I'm going to fold this in here. Okay. Think of your card, and if you're on air, I want you to think of that card too. And we're gonna attempt to find Tony's card using this. It disappeared. Actually, it's just right here. But look, what was your card, Tony?
Seven of parts.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Do not be fooled. Do not be fooled. Wow. Use the rubber.
That's tight.
Exactly.
That
so,
is fantastic.
You know, that would be the baby if you didn't use a rubber.
Oh, oh my God.
All right.
That's pretty much what I have to say. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for sharing that. And serious.
Thank you. I guess Tony had a question for me.
Yeah, I wanted to talk. You made a couple of comments, and first of all, I want you to understand that I look at all these particular subjects through biblical eyes.
Right.
You know, I'm a pastor, and so I believe a certain way about abortion. I believe a certain way about babies. You said something about a baby forming a soul.
Right.
Okay, first of all, I don't believe that a baby forms a soul.
Okay.
Once you are conceived, from the beginning, when you are just a little thought in your daddy's eye, you know, when that baby is conceived and there is some, the Bible says that God formed us.
Yes.
In the womb before anything else. And so from that point on, when you are and of course, this nation thinks about this a whole lot differently because they try to say that a baby is not viable. Or it's not, you know, it's not considered to have rights until it gets a certain certain amount of forming in the womb. When in actuality, according to Scripture, that from the time that you are conceived, you are a human being with a soul. Now, this is important because otherwise, if a baby is not considered having a soul or a viable human being at that particular age, then what about a person who gets extremely old and is no longer able to do anything? You know, is no longer able to do anything but lie on a bed. I mean, when is it going to come to the point where they take all of his rights away? So I believe personally that a baby, from the time that it is conceived, is a human being because it's not going to grow up to be anything else. You know what I mean? It's not going to grow. If this baby is allowed to grow, it's going to grow into a human being. Just like you and me, you know. So I believe that it's important that a child should have all the rights. I mean, even just because it's in the womb, why would you take those away?
Right.
So that's my comment.
Right.
On your
You know, at
position.
The point of conception is the heart actually forms before the brain does.
Okay.
So right at the point of conception is right when the heart actually starts to beat. So the heart starts beating even before the brain is formed inside of the woman.
So that's life there. There's life already there then.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, but consciousness has not yet been there, has not been formed yet, consciousness. But I do believe that the soul is probably there, you know, right when the heart forms, but that can't have consciousness until the brain actually forms.
And I can go along with that, But then the question is that because there's nothing in the brain, does that mean that it's not a human? I mean, look at it like you go out and pick yourself up a really nice computer, you know, and I hook it all up and everything, but nothing's in it yet. You know, I didn't put anything in it. I didn't download anything. It's just a computer that's there, but it is a computer. And so with that being said, you know, it's just because I start putting things into it, does that mean that it's any more of a computer than it was when I got it? It's still a computer.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So I believe that as far as a human being is concerned, I've got a granddaughter at home. Okay. She's 1 year old now. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever watched, you know. And I've watched this little baby from the time she was born with a vacant look on her face. Completely vacant. Nobody downloaded anything into this yet, you know. She's holding and so she was over at my house yesterday. And I was eating some sherbet ice cream. And I took a spoonful of that sherbet and I put it in her mouth. And you should have saw there was a downloading going on because she stopped and she was going. And she was looking in her eyes, got a certain look in her face where she was thinking, like, wow, this is good. What would I, you know, I mean, I'm trying to put words to what her face looked like. And it's like, this is really good.
What is this?
Yeah,
this
what is this?
Good.
What can I compare this with?
Grandpa, thank you.
Maybe I better get another one.
Uh-huh.
You know? So it's like, you know, her, it's true. that in the beginning, there's nothing in there, but they have the capability of learning, and their minds are sponges. They just start to absorb. And I believe that it's the same way as that baby begins to grow in that womb, form in that womb. The same thing happens, even though in the beginning, you would have to say, well, there's no consciousness. Is it no consciousness, or do they? I mean, I've heard stories where babies in the womb begin to, like when there's a needle, when a needle goes into the womb and they're trying to abort the baby with a saline solution, that they actually looked at the baby and the baby was moving away from that needle, trying to get away from it. No. It knew. It had an instinctual thing, an awareness
that
something was trying to hurt it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And myself, personally, when I'm... And this is another thing, too. I never cared for babies until I got saved.
Oh.
When I became a Christian, it was like God put something in me that looks at these little tiny human beings that are completely and totally innocent of anything. They're not even old enough to think of a sin. Whereas you and I, we think of sin every day. <Don't> yeah. You need counseling.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
I think this young lady might want to say something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, just repeat what you had to ask the question.
About the
question about
sex.
The sex.
What
makes it what?
Special?
Special?
No, magical. Just
what's the
magical
secret to it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Just, was it sex to you?
Okay.
I mean, you know.
Basically, it's the individual person.
Yeah.
The individual person has to get to a place of a knowing. Mm-hmm. And once you get to that place of knowing, then you're willing to explore new options, explore new adventures, explore new opportunities. I've been with my husband for 8 years, and we've been married for 4. But our communication, even though sometimes good, sometimes bad, but we get to a place where we have a camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
And it entices something inside of me that allows me to be free.
Okay.
Both communicative, everything. See, one thing about myself, I like to explore.
Okay.
In all levels, even the 3. But it's with my husband. And one of the beautiful things about it is that I know that within my husband and exploring these things, I'm able to be myself. And he loves me even more. And I'm allowing him to be his self even more. And it shows itself approved when, see, we women, we notice the little things. You guys notice the big things. We take heed to the little things. And when my husband does the little things, that lets me know that we're going in a good direction. As far as with the cheating or anything else like that, I'm very confident in my husband, and he's very confident in me, because on that level is how we communicate.
Right.
But in general, a woman likes to feel that she don't have to be, how can I say, not, like she could take the veils off.
Yeah.
You know, especially with her husband.
Right.
And when her husband or mate allows her to do that without being prejudiced or biased, then the sky's the limit.
Right.
I think, you know, it's not about being, you know, whooped, you know. It's about connecting.
Amen.
Connecting.
Right.
Like a electric, just connecting. And I'm going to close by saying that, you know, me and my husband, it was like he can be sitting at across from the room, and I can just look at him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just sparks.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, it's like even when I was away from him, you know, I could still feel him inside.
Right.
So it's like it's going on a limit. So.
Okay. And like I say, that's why I believe everything is very individual on all aspects of everything in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a person really got to feel what they feel deep down inside until you find that other person that feels that.
Mm-hmm.
I think before that, we all just experimenting because we don't know no better. You know, like how I used to be back in the day, I didn't know any better. I was a late bloomer. I was 19 before I started to do anything,
drink, have
sex, and all this
Same
stuff.
Here.
But when I got started, I made up for lost time.
Oh, my goodness.
You and me both.
Know you have ways also, like she was talking about her husband, and then we're talking about sex. And
yes.
When you first get together, you can have madly sex, and you love each other, and everything's fine.
Yeah.
But from one, maybe the wife or maybe the husband, something happens in their body that they can have sex. Mm-hmm. Are you still going to love and appreciate that person? See, that's what marriage is all mm-hmm. about, being right. committed yeah. when we don't even feel like it, and learning to do the adjustment if something happened. My husband had went deaf. I had to go to school and learn how to communicate with him. Mm. It was so many things I had to learn about my husband. And when you say I do, I don't know a lot of people because I hear a lot of divorces and stuff, but when it comes to seeing your partner take his last breath and you're there, being committed, not having to go somewhere else or do this or do that because you think the hospital is going to take care of all the needs and everything like that. Mm-hmm. That person still needs that person that they love. You can have a big old family. You can have your mama, your daddy, your brothers, your sister, your uncle, your cousin. But when you have committed to someone that's been loving you and you've been loving each other, that's the most important person in that hospital. Mm-hmm. Especially when you take your last breath. A lot of people don't understand marriage is a commitment to love one another and to be, always be there and to help one another. You know, you might have to clean your spouse's nose. You might have to help your spouse walk again. It is so much to marriage, and when you can come together, don't always look for the 100% the way it was when it first began. Mm-hmm. You never know. You have to be ready for anything. And don't give up so easily. Don't say you're going to fail, because if you don't try, how do you know? And it's so important. Marriage is not a game. It's not something that you can say, today I love you and tomorrow I'm gone or something like that. Mm-hmm. Because everybody change. And I understand everybody has a right to change their mind. But love and marriage is a wonderful thing. People, it's okay. Mm-hmm. We're together. We're against this world. And life is in session. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do the best we can. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just so glad that I didn't give up on my husband and he didn't give up on me. But it was very painful to watch him take his last breath unexpected in the hospital.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. I can imagine. You know, with my wife and I, it's funny because when we met, like I said, we became friends. We were friends before anything else was happening. Because my wife, and you know Lucy, right. likes to laugh, and we both laugh and joke, and we go, and what happened is that I looked at her one day, and I made a commitment to never let anything or anybody hurt her again. Mm. Not hurt her physically, psychologically, or financially. And at the time, when I met her, she was married to another guy that lived in the back house, and they rented me the front house, me and a roommate. And so we were, you know, it was all just friendship. It was because I was his friend too. Yeah. And everything was cool. Yeah. You know, we hung out together, this and that. And when he treated her so badly, I watched her cry every day. And I finally told him one day, I said, you know what? I said, you got a lot to lose. I said, you know, you got this wife, you got three kids, you got, you know, two houses, you got a lot. You got your own business, you got a lot to lose. And he said to me, well, you know what? If she caught me in bed with another woman, she'd never leave me. And I went, I'm backing away from that one. I don't want nothing to do with that. I said, because if you think that you got it like that, there's something getting ready to happen to you in your relationship. And sure enough, I just backed away and watched it happen, go down. And when it all went down, she started the divorce procedures. Me and her began to date and have and that's when I decided, I am never going to let nothing happen to her or anybody hurt her. And to this day, 20 years later.
Isn't that wonderful?
I still feel the same way. Nothing.
You was her hero.
And nothing will ever hurt my wife. Not in my presence.
Hallelujah. Yes.
That's the
way you got to feel about it.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But so funny, but we don't have too much of that right now anymore.
No.
And what it is, like I said, with me, I want to create my own independent advertisement program with my nonprofit, you know, use entertainment to bait people in and things. But I want to create my own commercials, PSAs and stuff, because people are visual. And like I say, with the powers that be or whoever you want to call them with the entertainment, they utilize that as their own mechanism of brainwashing to keep people a certain way. Because even like when I'm on the bus, you know, I'm kind of halfway disabled. You know, I got my cane and all that. But I see older, elderly, and more people worse off than I am. And when there's a youngster sitting in the front seat,
right,
it makes me go ape crazy that the other person can barely hold up and they don't get up out the way and stuff like that. Mm. And people say, they're old enough, they should know better. But I had to teach people what I learned from being homeless and everything. A person only knows what they've been exposed to.
Exactly.
Close to them. So, you know, you see anything like me, I was like 30-something before I went on a real date. Because all I did back in the day was one of those three things every night.
Right.
I never went on a real date before. So people think age ain't got nothing to do with it. I didn't know how to go on a date. You know, it was me, order pizza, have some drinks, and come on to the house.
Right.
So, people that's out there.
And hurry up.
Yeah. Now I got some, okay. But like even right now, like in the hoods and stuff, people only know what they've been exposed to. Then you got the TV, the entertainment, and all these reality stuff. So people don't really know what, you know, they might assume, they might have seen it, heard it before, but they don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my part. I want to change that so people can see. So it's a,
yeah.
Yeah.
I want to change tracks a little bit. I want to go down the intellectual lane about men and women.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
And,
and he has notes.
Basically, absolutely. You have to have some notes. I want to discuss how we got to where we are, the men and women, especially black men and women's relationships. Okay, now, I start off with the powers that control say that they want Americans to have a strong family unit, which the majority of them don't really mean. And the reason they don't mean it is because only with the majority of the country having a strong family unit could a revolt or a revolution happen. And they want to keep the public in a position to whatever is done to us, we just have to pretty much accept, and that is what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Not to say a family is not strong without a man, because there are thousands of cases where women have had great success with running a home and producing some great, intelligent, and successful children.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, with the right man in that household, things could have been much better and greater. But my point is regarding a household more able to defend itself and to be able to unite with other men-led households to stand up against the outside forces that would try to control or take away our civil rights. And to be able to make some sense of all this, we have to go back and try to figure out when these things were purposely flipped so as to weaken the family unit. Sadly, but that would be approximately when women's liberation became a reality. Again, let's say a lot of good came from the women's liberation movement. We can discuss those things like wages, opportunities, and position, et cetera, et cetera. But at this time, I wanted to mention a few things about where a lot of men and women are in their relationships with each other on various levels and why, how we got to here. There are way too many things that went into getting things like they are today to be addressed in a one-hour session, but I will touch on a few quickly. Some things fought for and won is like a double-edged sword sometimes, with negative and positive consequences. Now, when women were made stronger than men and men were made weaker than women, when women began receiving government assistance in various forms, I'm sure they needed it, but in a lot of cases, it was the beginning of women being able to say, no, I don't need a man. At this time period when this happened, men were not necessary. And so that has sort of dragged on to where a lot of women have that attitude now when dealing with the men. So in order to get the assistance, women had to either not have a man or to say she didn't have a man and hide him, which led to some men who were having a hard time finding a job already just giving up on looking for a job and living with a woman getting government assistance. And to get his hustle on, that would last until he got busted for either doing whatever his hustle consisted of or her finding out about the other woman. Mm. Then they both had lost and the cycle would continue, gradually losing the love and respect for each other, all of which is sweet music to the ears of the powers that be, because divide and conquer is the name of the game.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times to reach a desired goal, things are done in a very subtle way, and that is how it was done to us. And that is why we are, as men and women, where we are today.
Wow.
Okay, all right.
Okay,
hey, yeah. We need to have, well, I said the intellectual part. We need that. You know, they're having fun and games and everything. You say you got a question, sir?
Yeah.
Got to come to them.
Yeah. We got about 10 minutes left.
Yeah, speaking on my brother here, my name is Taz Washington, by the way, musician, professional musician. I'm a drummer at the Church of the Nazarene with my pastor, Mr. Starwood. I want to just let you know that I agree with what you were saying because it's basically all of a game. You understand? The thing is divide and conquer is basically like if I can take the stronghold, if I can take the strongest thing from a person, I can control and manipulate them any way I want.
Absolutely.
So it's pretty much basically a game when it comes to men and women, especially the black and the Latinos.
Absolutely.
You understand? And it's to the powers that be to take out the black men and the Latinos as well, because basically 9 times out of 10, it's true that if we can control the children and the women of the society, 9 times out of 10, we can get more done. You understand? That's why you have the jails right now overcrowded with us.
Absolutely.
And not with them.
Absolutely. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Right.
That's okay. Right.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
And we can create another segment off of that right there.
Yeah,
yeah,
we can.
Yeah, so, you know, and like I say, like, and I know somebody told me about that too, about, you know, like when they came with the assistance. And then, like I say, I even had a lady say something to me. I was riding a red line where she told me, talking about the Jezebel spirit, talking about she hides her boys from the girls because the girls know what they're doing. They're using the boys to get pregnant so they can get assistance.
Right.
And then all the type of stuff and everything.
Absolutely.
And,
yep.
And so, and that's why I'm going to probably be really focused on the next segment. It's like I had a prostitute tell me something one time. She said, I can pimp a pimp to pimp my coochie so I can go trick another man. So you were saying she orchestrating the whole thing.
She running things.
She running things. Entrepreneurship.
Yeah, she's doing her thing, doing what works for her.
And see, that's what I said, like when I started my show, like when I did the show on domestic violence with a twist with what men go through,
right.
Women instigate. So what my thing, like with it, you know, with the battle of the sexes, is 50-50 because each situation is difficult or and everything. So, but you have some women who know exactly what they're doing and some women don't. So you got some people who think fast. They're on a different level in their mind. The things go like this. Other person, it just easing on through. They see somebody who just easing on through, they can run circles around it.
Absolutely.
So I tell a woman can use a man to use her, and then the man takes the downfall for it.
Right.
Well, she set the whole thing up.
Right.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So where I come from, like through the street life and then the strip clubs and stuff like that, I learned a lot of games from the women. Then I taught the women some games that they didn't even know.
Right.
So you got it's always a learning process, and it goes back and forth.
Right.
Like I said, you call a woman a hoe, but still she gets a pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, it's double standards both ways on men and women,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then, like I say, I'm in a group with women against feminism, you know, because like, some women against that. So you got, you know, I look at that part where a woman want to be equal to a man, then at the same time she wants somebody to open the doors for her and give her flowers.
Right.
I don't think that's, you know, correct on that point.
Right.
So that's why I say I want to juggle this up with the battle of the sexes.
Absolutely.
To get it going. But it's a two-way street.
Right. One quick point. There's a lot more to be added to that, what I was mentioning, because that goes very deep into why men and women look at each other and treat each other the way they do.
Yeah.
Because over years of men not being able to stand up and take care of women like they should, women look down on men in a negative way.
Right.
And so, like, a lot of time they will look down on a man just because they have these preconceived ideas that he's not going to be able to take care of her. And he might have been, like, a good man that would have worked his butt off for her. But because of the preconceived idea that the majority of black men can't take care of her as a woman,
mm-hmm.
she will go past a man that might have been a diamond in the rough.
Right.
You know, so it's a lot that goes along with this. And so,
right.
like, we've been divided.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically it. We've been divided. So we have to start thinking to unite ourselves to where we're open-minded to each other and give each other a chance to show where we're coming from.
Right.
Real communication.
Real communication.
That's what takes a lot of work.
And don't bring a lot of luggage
right.
into the relationship.
But,
you know?
But let me say something, though, about this, because I'm listening to this thing, and I'm listening to what my brother's saying, and I understand exactly 100%. But I can tell you this from my own, you know, experience. When a man puts his how he is going to develop first. See, the problem is that we always put the cart before the horse.
Yep.
I run into it down at the church all the time. I got homeless people that are coming in and out of the church. And you know what they want to pray for? A wife. Now, how you? And I had them come into the church. Can you marry us? I said, well, where are you living, bro? Well, I got a cardboard box right outside the front door. What are you talking about? Why is it that you don't concentrate on getting yourself together first?
Right.
That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And as far as your relationship with a woman, you ain't got to have some sex right off the bat. What is up with that? You got to be her friend. Learn about her. Open your mind up. Talk to her. Find out. You know, my wife is one of the most intelligent women I've ever met. And I am nobody's dummy. I make sure that I listen to what Lucy has to say.
Right.
I have to make a decision. And yeah, okay, the decision thing sits in my lap. But I listen to what my wife has to say. What do you have to say? And she'll tell me her mind, and then I'll mull over it, and I'll pray about it, and then I'll make a decision. Sometimes it goes her way, and sometimes it doesn't. Right. But the point is that I listen to it. But here's the thing. You know, if you want to get yourself together, you got to stop. You got to work on getting that job. Mm-hmm. Work on putting together a nest so that you got a place to bring that woman when mm-hmm. When you guys finally end up, you know, getting married and having a place. You got to make some money and get yourself a car so that y'all ain't going out on the bus. You know, what is that all about? Get your life together. Do it right. Put it all in proper perspective so that you do it right. That way you ain't sitting at home taking care of the kids while your wife is going out making the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to go ahead and fulfill your part in this relationship the way, and I can tell you know what it is that the men should be doing. We should be handling our business. We should be doing what it is. But don't get yourself in a situation where you have to take the woman's job because you can't do nothing else.
Oh, yeah. I've been there. I thought I was the man, the player, and all that stuff. But I looked at, but no. Actually, I did get hurt on a job where I had to do that.
Well, that's one thing.
And she was like, I got him. But it seemed like I had to go. We got to get another segment on this one. But it seemed like I kind of went through all of the motions to understand things now.
Yeah.
Like I went through it to be to where I am because, believe me, I'm a whole lot different than where I used to be for real. And, you know, but I look back on certain instances and I thought about, like, you know, when I did get hurt in the job mm-hmm. and my baby mom was doing what she had to do, I had to be there with my daughter and learn how to change diapers and do bottles for them and all this stuff. So going through that, because before that, I'm like every other man. Housework don't mean nothing. She lazy. You know, I didn't think a housewife, I didn't think that was, I thought I'd take care of my daughter. I was ready to go back and work a regular job. I was like, let me get an application. Let me get up out of this house.
You know what, though? I used to love that, though. My last daughter, she's 23 years old. When she was a baby and born, I told her mama. Now, I worked a job during the day. Mm-hmm. So, but I told her mama, so when I'm home, you don't do nothing for her. I take care of her. And all night long when she'd sleep, I'd get up in the middle of the night. I fed her. Mm-hmm. I changed her. That was my baby.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't mind learning how to do all the things that had to be done. In fact, my mommy, I used to sew, I'd iron, I cleaned, I did. My mama said, if you're going to get married, it ain't going to be because you don't know how to do all this stuff.
Right.
So taking care of my little baby girl,
mm-hmm.
man, that was a wonderful thing. And she is my little girl.
Right.
She's mine, and she'll tell you that, too.
Yes.
We bonded like nobody's business.
Yeah, that's what ended up happening
with
me, though,
because
I'm glad I got
fathers.
A chance to do this.
Right.
You know, because
it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I'm like, if I would never went through, like I said, with the negative, for me to get hurt, you had to lose my job, mm-hmm. but I got to get close to my daughter, stay, you know, took care of her for a year. Mm-hmm. And it taught me a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we got about a minute left. So, hey, that was a very great, great show, very interesting. So I want to give everybody a chance to go around one more time, say who you are, get your website, your phone numbers, and all this stuff.
Hi, this was great. I really enjoyed it. I want to give a shout out, though, to my daughter, Porsche, and her beauty shop on 78th and Crenshaw. You know, and her phone number is 323-743-6076. And senior citizens, half price. And she does a wonderful job. She's a single mother trying to do the best she can. She doesn't have a man in her life, right. But she's working on it. So thank you very much.
All right.
Yes, my name is Herman Maurice Sample. I'm on Facebook, Herman Maurice Sample. Email address, hmaurice.sample@yahoo.com. You can contact me about any questions you have.
Okay, thank you, Bobby. I guess I'm on Facebook, DemetriaWilson@yahoo.com. You can see me at Central City Church of the Nazarene, located at 419 East 6th Street, or the church on the corner. Also, Universal Testing and Consulting, we're doing a diabetes study. So if you have type 1, type 2 diabetes, come on down. We'll screen you. We will compensate up to $1,000 once you are enrolled into the program. And that's about it.
All right.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Ian Galloway, Magic Ian. If you want to hire me for a private event, for like a birthday party or a corporate event, you can call me at 714-471-4472, and I'll bring some amazing magic to your party. Thanks again, guys.
Amen. And my name is Anthony Stallworth, senior pastor at Central City Community Church of the Nazarene. Thank you very much, Bobby. This has been a wonderful time, and I appreciate the invitation. If you guys are all invited to come down to church on Sunday, and if you haven't been to Central City, you don't know what you're missing.
Sure enough, don't.
So come on down.
Oh, you'll have karaoke a wonderful too. Night.
That's right. We have karaoke ministry
right on
Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights. Y'all come on down to Skid Row, so that's where we kick it. We kick it live. Yeah. And I'm Bobby Buck. I'm going to sign off, and I'll see you next time on the Bobby Buck Show.
Log on, log on, log on, log on to BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. Log on, log on, log on, log on, log on, log on to BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com.